So Meta is agreeing to pay up to $18 billion to settle a landmark case. This is over teen and preteen social media addiction. That deal with 48 states, which includes Connecticut, will include new protections for kids on Instagram and Facebook, including two-hour daily limits, stronger age checks, and overnight restrictions. But I wanted to talk more about this with somebody who understands this and the weight, the gravity of this case more. And that is John Powers, who is an assistant professor and director of the Graduate Digital Content Create and Strategy Program at Quinnipiac University. And John, welcome to the show. Talk, first of all, about this case and the weight, the gravity of it, the potential for the industry-wide kind of impact. What does this mean?
So the case itself, the money, you know, is a huge deal, obviously, to the average person, but to Meta, it's a small amount. The real consequences are the new restrictions that they have agreed to put in place. The two-hour limit on teenagers, the cutting it off at nighttime for teenagers, and you know, just a sort of coming to a moment where they have admitted that they have concern for teenager younger person safety online.
I think obviously the money, like you said, is a big deal, John, but I feel like the bigger part of this, and please correct me if I'm wrong, I feel like the bigger part is this kind of begins to set a better precedent. Again, I know this is just Facebook and Instagram, but does it grow from here? Do you start to see heavy hitters all kind of have to be held accountable?
Yeah, that's a great point. And part of this settlement, and Meta has already started this, is that they are urging other social media platforms, specifically YouTube, which is part of Google, and TikTok, to join them in implementing these restrictions. And so I saw yesterday they were already posting things on their own platforms, Meta being who I'm talking about, urging TikTok and YouTube to join them. And that's part of the settlement, that this would become an industry-wide program for younger people, which again is, I think about it almost like the in our society when cigarettes, went through this problem,
like the cigarette moment,
and became, had to do certain things to stay in business.
Right. Well, because they obviously you could still buy cigarettes, but it's that idea of better regulation, and instead of like eliminating the product, it's, you know, just having a better control over the industry and how it could impact kids, really.
Yeah. And you know, this situation faces a similar problem where cigarettes, you know, all of a sudden years ago, there was they couldn't advertise in certain places. There were, you know, there was an age limit as far as who could purchase cigarettes, you know, all that kind of stuff. And that's similar to what is happening here. And now, you know, the issue is how can this be enforced? You know, how will Meta and hopefully the other social media companies be able to determine online who actually is not an adult and who is?
And besides kind of setting that precedent for other social media giants, again, we're talking to John Powers, assistant professor and director of the Graduate Digital Content Create and Strategy Program at Quinnipiac. Besides the sort of setting a better precedence for social media, what do you think this settlement means from a congressional standpoint, from like a lawmaking standpoint?
That's a great question. You know, this settlement is just that. It has, you know, Congress is not involved. There are no laws in place here. This was a, you know, litigation, an agreement where Meta was facing trillions of dollars of lawsuits from just four states, and they settled with 48 states for much less money here. So this is the agreement, and the thing to watch is, will Congress, will politicians now take up the mantle and see that there is an opportunity here to potentially change the way our younger people and even all of us sort of look at social media.
Sure. And that's just it. I think because if I have looked at in the past, and the only one I could really think of that stands out who happens to have connections to Connecticut is Senator Blumenthal. And I know the Online Safety Kids Act that he's been trying to push for a long time. At the end of the day, even when he's been at the forefront of having these conversations with the creator of Meta, like the Mark Zuckerbergs of the world, YouTube, TikTok, all that. The biggest thing is that they can't really get anything to cross the finish line because there's not been a precedent set. And there are enough, I think, entities lobbying to protect the social media platforms. And so to me, this could kind of establish, I would think, a clearer path forward where if you're trying to make more efforts to have control over social media and the impact it can have on users, it feels like this at least is a step in the right direction. I don't know if that's me being Pollyanna, but it feels like that would make it a lot easier than before.
I would agree with you 100%. And not to be cynical here, but politicians always face backlash from their constituents and Congress, members of Congress need to get reelected every 2 years. And, they're as soon as they win an election, they're running for election again. And so it's hard for them to take up something that is such a big part of the lives of almost every one of the people they represent. So it's even more, powerful, if you will, than what was happening with the cigarette industry back in the day, the tobacco industry. Almost every person spends hours every day of their lives on social media. And the idea of restricting sounds, can scare people to the point where, who's controlling what? And, is now the government going to get involved and decide what we can see and not see and, all that kind of stuff. So it's challenging. The big issue here is how will Meta know who exactly is a teenager online? Will people put in, have fake accounts and, put in, different birth dates and stuff like that so they can get around some of the restrictions. So that's sort of the next step.
We are chatting right now with John Powers, assistant professor and director of the Graduate Digital Content Create and Strategy Program at Quinnipiac University, talking about the latest news this week regarding social media and protections for children. Meta agreeing to pay up to $18 billion. That's a B as in boy. $18 billion to settle a landmark case over teen and preteen social media addiction. Let's talk about what comes with this deal, John. Limits on the use, provisions like capping teen social media use at 2 hours per day, cutting off access at night. Sure, this could certainly be helpful. However, you just hinted at something that's very important, which is how do you make sure, first of all, that fake accounts are not being made? Second of all, I'm sorry, but we live in a country right now where you have a lot of families who, I'm not going to say it's a direct result of gentle parenting. However, they have a harder time being hard on their children. The idea of we're going to push back, or I own the cell phone, so I get to make the shots on how you use your cell phone. So I look at, just to give a comparison, when I was growing up in the late 90s, early 2000s, in my teenage years, we had AIM, Instant Messenger, and my mom every week checked our friend list. Mine and my older brother's. She would look at the list, and if she didn't know who the kid was or she hadn't met the parents, she deleted them with no questions asked. And it drove us nuts, right? I mean, you're talking about a 14 and a 16-year-old, and we're like, Mom, come on, like, stop. But she said, I own the computer. I'm in charge of your internet. I get to check your list. That's just not really the modeling of parenting today. And my point of bringing that up is, so what if all you need is a parent to say, yes, we want you to be on longer. That's fine, honey. You could be on longer. I trust you. To me, does this really do anything? I guess that's what I'm getting at.
So that's a really great point. And, interestingly, the default setting of these changes that are going to take place will implement those restrictions. So the parents will have increased control, but it will take a parent to go in and grant their child, you know, let's say extra time or, you know, some differences, even the algorithm, so that they can, you know, have videos that start as you're scrolling, you know, in the infinite scroll. All those sort of things are going to be turned off by default. So the parent would have to go in and deliberately turn those back on. And that's their decision, you know, as parents. The other thing, you know, which is obvious to me is that, you know, I hate to say it, but I think many younger people already have alternate Instagram accounts, let's say.
Sure.
And so that doesn't seem that challenging to do that. What AI has offered is that they're going to be doing what Meta is going to be doing is using AI to sort of model behaviors. So if this person is on Instagram and they're 19, according to their profile, they're 19 years old, but through AI, it's determined that they are, coming from the same IP address as, other accounts that are younger or where there used to be younger accounts, device fingerprints, phone numbers, email addresses, and then just behaviors. You know, are there typing patterns, their interaction choices, their language styles, all those things using AI will flag certain users who appear to be adults and have unlimited access, but actually are younger.
Yeah, we'll see how successful that is. The other thing,
exactly.
Right? I mean, we'll see, I guess, to be determined. I don't mean to be like totally cynical. I just think to myself, come on now. The other thing too, John, that I am questioning is, and I understand it, right? I get that it's for younger users. We got to protect them. I get it. They're our most vulnerable population when it comes to the online world. I do. I understand that. Much like for a long time when it came to scams, we wanted to protect our senior population because and I get that. But we're now living in a time where you could be 20 and tech savvy and you get scammed because they've gotten so smart and they know how to target anybody for anything. Doesn't matter your age. My point of bringing that up is we focus so much on doom scrolling and mental health and how abusive or addictive these things are for young users. And the part of this that bothers me is that we don't look at 18 plus. We don't look at, well, are we doing a good enough job modeling for our kids or even for ourselves that we're not addicted to social media? And I don't think we do. I look at the amount of students who leave college and they don't know how to, you know, pick up the phone or they don't know how to be as productive when they're at work. And it's because they have adopted the same sort of addictive personality with social media and just their smartphones or whatever it is as the adults in the household. Like we're not doing a great job as adults at being in check with that. And that bothers me in this. I know that's not part of this settlement, obviously, but I think we as a nation, as a society, we rest on, well, let's protect the next generation, but we don't check anybody 18 and up. And I think that is infuriating.
Oh, I think you hit on something that's really, really important is that the addiction to the social media algorithm is certainly not restricted to teenagers or younger people. As a matter of fact, I would contest that it's more addictive in the older generations, for sure.
I think so.
And the algorithm and the infinite scroll and the poor, you know, the mental health consequences and the poor sleep, impact that generation as much, if not more. And like you said, there are studies now about conditions such as telephobia, where people are afraid or, you know, reject using the, you know, calling someone or receiving a phone call for any reason, because they're so, you know, it's outside of their norm of texting or instant messaging or communicating through social media. So that issue is, I mean, we can get into all the implications of the impact on all of us. The optimistic thought is that this is just the start. And like cigarettes, you hope that it becomes, you know, not just like, oh, yeah, those look at, we have to restrict those kids because they're on, you know, social media all the time, but look at ourselves and realize what it's doing to ourselves, you know, our mental health and how we interact with each other. You know, we've all walked into, you know, or been at a restaurant and seen, you know, not to pick on anybody, but to see people having dinner and they're both on their phone.
Yep.
And, you know, that's just one example, but that's, right, that's a constant part of our society now. So it certainly is not just the young people.
Yeah. Well, like you said, John, maybe we do start to see the cigarette effect the more that we focus on it and you see settlements like the one we saw with Meta this week. But I guess time will certainly tell. John Powers, I want to thank you for what you do professionally at Quinnipiac University. And thank you for weighing in on this conversation. We really appreciate your insight.